We are on commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. But before we get to that, I've got two things that I want to say. Number one, if you don't have a Bible, please bring one. We're going to spend a lot of time going between different passages. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, let us know. We'll get you one. I mean, that's just what we do here. But I'm not speaking from my wisdom, because that would be a very short and very confusing sermon. But I try and present what the Word of God says. And I try and base all that we do on the Word of God. And so we take time during the message for you to turn. I don't put the words up on the screen, because the idea is for you to bring your own Bible and look them up. And so that's just what we're doing. That's number one. Number two. Oh, how do I say this so I don't offend everybody? Hi, Earl. Great to have you here. Well, that's not what I was going to offend everybody, but it's good to see you. Though that might be offensive to some people. I don't know. No, it's you're waiting for family. Thrilled to death to see you. I'm going to start off talking about a situation that is happening in America, and it has something to do with the Eighth Commandment, but I'm going to talk about a radical racist political group. While I know this could be offensive, because I'm going to say that this radical racist group is evil and wrong, if that offends you, try and change my mind. If you are aware of anything right now, there's the movement Black Lives Matter. Okay, there's a comedian who goes out and talks about Black Lives Matter, and he says, "Yo, they matter to me. I am black. I've got a black." That's different than the Black Lives Movement. I want to share what this happened on August 13th. This news came out. Ariel Adkins, who's a leader in that group, told this radio show or whatever, the newspaper, that her group 100% supports the violent looters who trashed chunks of Windy City on Monday, and again repeated her claim that it was reparations. The whole idea of criminality is based on racism anyway. This is where you take your hand and you face palm. Criminality has absolutely nothing to do with race. It has to do with violating the law, which says, don't take other people's stuff without paying for it. Okay? Anyways. Because criminality is punishing people for things they have needed to survive, or just the way that society has affected them with white supremacy. Let me read this one more time. Because criminality is punishing people for things that they have needed to do to survive, or just the way that society has affected them with white supremacy. Again, take your hand, hit yourself really hard in the forehead. That's just ludicrous. At least 13 cops were injured and 100 people arrested in violent clashes, which led to a mostly black community in the troubled South Side kicking out a BLM movement program. It was so bad that they were rejected by people that they claimed to protect. Adkins, this BLM lady, attacked Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and it says, who is black, for calling looting straight-up felony. How dare you say that looting is straight-up felony? Shame on you. Don't you know this is what we need to do to survive? It goes on and on. It's ludicrous. Just so that you know, I am not racist. I'm also not a white supremacist, and if you look at the genetics, there's no difference. There's slightly melanin more, less melanin, it doesn't matter. The idea that looting is okay, no, it's not. And anybody who thinks that is way off base. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19, it says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. So let's talk a little bit about the biblical perspective on stealing, Okay? Let's take a look at a biblical perspective on theft. And I want you to find the book of Exodus. Mrs. James, it's the second book. It's Genesis, Exodus. Don't get lost. If you're in Revelation, you're on the wrong end. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. Because this is an interesting little thing here. I'll bet you did not know this off the top of your head. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16 reads this way. Whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him, shall be put to death. Slavery in the classic sense that we think of slavery, where a slave trader goes to some land, captures some indigenous people and brings them back and sells them into slavery, was a capital punishment. Going over and taking people against their will and either holding on to them while transporting them or actually having sold them was a capital offense. How many of you knew that was in the Bible? A couple of you? You guys are awesome. The rest of us are just learning it. But let's go on. The Bible has more to say about this. I mean, what's the penalty for stealing people? Death. Capital punishment. There are various other penalties for, can we say lesser thefts? Yes, we can. Because there's a huge difference between stealing some person and stealing a candy bar. I'm not going to say that I stole a candy bar, but I'm also not going to say that I didn't steal a candy bar, because I did it a lot when I was really, really young, and it wasn't good. And it was one of those things that, yeah, like I said, I ended up in a group home for delinquents for a reason. Anyways, take a look at Exodus chapter 22, verses 1, 4, 7, and 9. Verse 1 says this, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall repay 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Okay, so if you either kill it or sell it and you get found out that you had done it, you pay 5 for an ox, 4 for a sheep. Verse 4 says it this way. If the stolen beast is found alive in the thief's possession, whether it is an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. So if you steal somebody's sheep and you're walking away with it and you get caught, you not only have to give that sheep back, but you have to give another one, okay? Different than if you'd already made your profit off it. Profit, it was 5 and 4. This is just straight up double. Verse 7, if a man gives to his neighbor money or goods to keep safe and it is stolen from the man's house, then if the thief is found, he shall pay double. Verse 9 says, for every breach of trust, whether it is an ox or for a donkey or for a sheep or for a cloak or any kind of lost thing, of which one says, this is it, the case of both parties shall come before God. The one whom God condemns shall pay double. All right, so you get the idea here. Classic slave traders were dealt with by death, and there were various other penalties for people depending on where in the stealing process they were. Notice this, though. Let's say you're caught stealing something. You not only have to return what you stole, but there's also a penalty that goes along with it, right? If you cannot pay that penalty, guess where you end up? It's on the board. Starts with an S, ends with Avery. You end up in slavery. You end up as a slave. Now, let me, that's going to be in Exodus chapter 22, verse 3. Very end of it. It says, "If he shall surely pay, if he has nothing, he shall be sold for his theft." Okay? Now, before you scratch your head and you wonder about in confusion, let me point something out. Let me make something absolutely clear. Okay? The first thing that we were talking about where classic slavery ended up in a death penalty is if I, as a slave trader, go and take you against your will and without any foreknowledge, if I come in and snag you and take off, I deserve to die. Okay? The second case is this. I'm stupid. I got myself in trouble and I've got a fine that I can't pay. I have now volunteered for slavery. Do you get the difference? On this one, where somebody is coming after upstanding or maybe not citizens and taking them, that's to be dealt with by killing the person that's perpetrating the crime. Over here, if you're dumb and you get yourself into a position where you've got a fine you can't pay, you volunteered. Off you go. That's nothing wrong with that. That's you taking care of what you've done. In fact, what does it say here? It says consequences were to be paid by the perpetrator. We're going to be back in Exodus real quick, so don't lose your finger, but flip over to Leviticus real quick. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 6, 1 through 7. It says this, Leviticus chapter 6, 1 through 7. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in matters of deposit or security or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, in any of the things the people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression or deposit was committed to him, or anything," where's it, verse 6, "he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish of the flock or its equivalent for a guilt offering." Do you get this? You had to pay if you screwed up. You had to make compensation for it. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 5, 5 through 10, you see the same idea here. In this one, it talks about, again, making rumination. But I want to spend some time in Exodus chapter 22. There is a biblical principle that God established and he repeated time and 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 a couple of more times and again, that if you did something wrong, that not only did you return and restore what you had done, but there would be a fine or another assessment added to it, okay? Sometimes it's a fifth, sometimes it's double, sometimes it's a multiple. But the idea is, if you went out and you offended your fellow, you had to pay for it if you were caught. Sometimes you even had to pay with your life. Sometimes you ended up as a slave. But turn back to Exodus chapter 22, because a lot of people are confused when they read Exodus chapter 22. And I want to see if I can clean it up and help you understand what's being said here. Exodus chapter 22. "If a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall repay five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep." Verse 2. "If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft." Every commentator that I read got this wrong. And I feel really bad saying this, because I actually did read more than one commentator. They all got this wrong. If you read this, I want you to understand what's going on here. They get confused on the idea of blood guilt and sunlight. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. Most people assume what this means is that you're asleep in your bed, little sheep jumping over a fence, and then you hear something, a window breaks, or somebody drops a jug, and the wife elbows you, get the baseball bat. And so you're going downstairs, and boo, bang, bang, bang. And it's in the middle of the night, and you've killed the guy. Well, you don't have any blood guilt because you don't know if he was stealing or if he was coming to murder you. That's not what it means at all. This is what that verse says. If a thief, verse 2, is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. If a thief is breaking in and you confront him, do you think it's going to be like this? Pardon me, my good man, could you put down the silverware and leave? Oh, of course not. I'm here to take it. Oh, but I've caught you. Oh, I'm caught. Oh, no. Is that what's going to happen? Let's be honest. This is what's going to happen. You're going to have the baseball bat, and you're going to be sneaking downstairs, and you're going to come after the guy and swing in, and what's he going to do? Or she. Let's be equal opportunity here. They're probably going to go, mine, mine, mine. I want it, I want it, I want it. And you're going to have a fight. Things are probably going to get broken. Things are probably going to get destroyed. You may end up with a contusion or two. But if you kill them, you cannot attack their family and say their family owes you. Get it? If they've committed a crime, they owe. But if you kill them, they've paid with their life. You can't go after anybody else. The blood guilt has been satisfied. They're dead. You might kick them a couple times to get your frustration out, but you can't go after anybody else because they're dead. But read on. But if the sun has risen on him, this is the idea here. And you can back me up on this by reading chapter 21 and understanding what it talks about there. The idea is this. You've come downstairs, you've surprised the thief, there's been a tussle, you've beat the snot out of him, the police have come and taken him away, and he lives. And the sun rises on him. Now what happens? Now he owes. Now he has blood guilt. You can sue him for everything. You can sue him for the damages. You can sue him for what he was trying to take. You can sue him for your lost work time. You can sue him for everything. Because he was the perpetrator. That's what this passage means. Anybody who tries to say that well, during the daytime, if you try and defend your property and you kill the thief, you're guilty. They're getting it wrong. That's not a godly principle. That's bogus. I want to point out something. Just curious. What testament are we reading in? We all agree that Old Testament, right? We're not talking about New Testament. We're not talking about grace. And we're not talking about any. We're talking about what this passage says. And what this passage says is, if you cause the problem, you pay. You either pay with your life or you pay some other way. But you're the one that caused the problem. You're the one that pays. Any questions? All right. I have three. Number one, why is there death for stealing people? This is listener participation moment. So if you've got an idea, yeah, what do you think? Oh, because you're stealing their life. Anybody else? Who said that? My wife. Doggone it, woman. You always know the right answers. I didn't tell her that. She came up with it on her own, didn't you? Did I tell you? No, I didn't. And she's absolutely right. Take a look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says this. God said, let us make man in our own image, our own likeness. and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. You are not just some really skilled animal. You're not. Anybody who teaches that in a school classroom is wrong. We are not animals. We are created in the image of God. And that makes a distinction. Steal a cow, pay back a cow, plus a little bit more. Steal a person, you are violating the image of God and you will die. Quite honestly, that's what it's talking about. In fact, if you were to turn over to Genesis chapter 9, it says this, for your lifeblood, I'm in Genesis chapter 9, beginning in verse 5. Genesis 9, 5. For your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. And verse 6 explains it. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his image. Okay? There is a distinction between humanity and all the rest of creation. Okay? So, why death for stealing? Because we're created in the image of God. Question number 2. Why should we pay back more than that which was stolen? Anybody?
Penalty of sin.
What's the penalty for sin? The wages of sin is death. What's the purpose of the penalty?
It's a deterrent.
A deterrent. It's a training tool. It's to say, not only don't do that, but don't do that. See the difference? I love parents. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Meanwhile, the kids are just versus parents that say, stop it. You know what happens in the second case?
Yeah. Okay.
It's a difference. Don't believe me? We talked about this in Sunday school. What happens if you speed? Pressure is applied to the learning area. Take out your wallet and pay money. If you notice, God created the learning area, it's hardwired by the spine to the learning center. That's how learning happens. And in this case, if you steal, not only is it, don't do that, don't do it and pay your fine. All right? That's just the way it goes. But how about this one? Trick question. It's so easy just to go back to see previous answer, right? Why make some slaves? It's okay to say it's a deterrent. It's okay to say it's a punishment. It's okay to say that it's a learning opportunity. But how many of you think God might be able to accomplish more than just one thing at one time? Not just social skills, but do you realize that not everybody is qualified to be a business owner? Do you realize some people are not qualified to handle their own cash? Do you realize some of us are destined and should be in a following role more than in a leading role? And this gives them an opportunity. Do you know what the slave ends up doing? The slave ends up receiving orders from somebody who obviously has avoided all the pitfalls that they are, because they're not slaves, and you have the opportunity to learn. It could even fall into a mentorship. There are passages within the scriptures that talk about slaves who it's time for them to be released, and they said, no, 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 I like it here. And there's methods for dealing with them. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's an opportunity for them to look at themselves and grow. Is that how we handle it today? They get fed, yeah. No, that's not. All right. I missed one thing that I wanted to talk about why pay back more than what was stolen. There's a principle here. Forgiveness is costly. Okay? Forgiveness isn't cheap. I mean, for you and I, it's as simple as honestly and earnestly coming before the Lord and confessing our sin, repenting, and accepting Him as our Lord and Savior. It doesn't cost us. But the price of our freedom, the price of our salvation, the price of our forgiveness was the precious blood of the Lamb. There's a principle here. Forgiveness is not free. So we need to understand that. All right. The church response. The first thing I want to say is that we need to stand up for human dignity. When facing people that are thieves, when facing situations where people are doing illegal acts or whatever, we need to stand up for what it means to be human. I chose Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10, a very, very famous and familiar passage. It says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." See, God loves. God cares. God values each and every one of us. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross to save your dog. He didn't die on the cross to save the environment. He didn't die on the cross to make America energy independent. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save humans. And I don't care if when you start it at conception or 900 years old like Eunice. God loves us as people. And He came that we might have life and have that more abundantly. And the standards that He put out and the expectations He lays out are for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Anything else is following after the thief who comes only to kill and destroy. So as a church, how should we respond to thievery? How should we respond to people who have that attitude that they don't care about others? We do. We care about people. From our founders to our visitors and everybody in between. And even the people outside our walls. We have to stand up for what is true and right. This is a principle, okay? This next one is, I'm not going to give you a verse. I think I've established this principle through our study today. But we need to pay attention. Oh, I do have verses up there. We do need to pay attention to victims' rights. Victims' rights. Not only is it a good idea to punish, but it's good for our society to punish. Oh, you can't do that. That's cruel and inhumane. You know, if you do that to people, you're just going to turn them more evil. No, you're not. You're going to teach people right from wrong. You're going to protect our society so that it's safe to move about within it. Even up to capital punishment has a role within society. I want to talk about the difference between establishing a church and establishing a society. If you come into our church and you spill coffee, I'm not cutting off your hand. Okay? I'm not all about punishing people here. That's not what I'm all about. But what God was doing was establishing a society. And he was establishing a society that would be healthy and beneficial and one that people could walk around and live in. And we are so far away from this ideal today. And all we want to hear about is, oh, God's a God of love. Yeah, he's a God of love. But do you know who God loves? He loves both the perpetrator and the victim. And when you are the perpetrator, you should carry the consequences, not the victim. I think it's important for us to get our minds around that. I want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, and then I'm going to end in Matthew. That's after Corinthians. Ephesians 4, 28 says this. Ephesians 4, 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Do you understand the difference of perspective there? It is a radical shift in the way to look at the world. It is something that is foreign to the vast majority of Americans, the vast majority of Washingtonians or Oregonites. Oregonians? How do you say it? Oregonians. I knew that. Dang it. The idea of seeking to serve others. It's a foreign concept. For the vast majority of humanity, people are all about me, 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 my. Let the thief stop stealing for himself. But rather, let the thief get off the couch, get a job, and have something to share with other people. Amen. That's just the way it is. But how about Matthew chapter 6? Oh, this is going to cause me some grief. Sorry. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Oh, I think I missed a verse earlier. I did. Well, this is why skilled and trained professionals need not apply. There's a passage which says if someone takes your cloak, you are to give him your coat too. Right? Not what it says. The idea is if someone's suing you. It says if someone is taking you to court, give it up. And over and above. The idea is what we find here in this passage, in Matthew 6, Matthew 6 tells us to take our eyes off of this world and put them on the next. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is hard to do. This is really, really hard to do because I like to eat. Can I get an amen? I like to have a warm house. I like to have clothes to wear. Everybody else is more in favor of that one than me, but we like to be well-fed. We like to be warm. We like to be clothed, which means we like to have money and stuff. But our focus is not to be on this planet. Our focus is not to be on this temporary life. But our primary concern is to be the life to come. I'm going to be honest with you. That's hard. It's really, really hard. And it's something that we're going to fail in and fail in and fail in. But His mercy is new every morning, and His grace knows no bounds. Do you know what happens when you fail? You confess, which means it was me, I failed. You repent, which means you choose not to do it anymore. And then you try and try again. You see, God loved us so much that Jesus Christ came and paid the penalty for sin, that we might have hope of a life hereafter. And that's what we're supposed to be living for. And as we read in Sunday school, so that our light would shine before men. It's what we're all about, people. So that's a church perspective on stealing. Don't do it. Rather, get a job so that you can have something to share with others. And if somebody is worried about the things of this world, remind yourself to have your mind on the things of God. Let's pray.